Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Samach Beis. Rabbi Leibowitz left off yesterday, Kuf Samach Aleph, pretty much almost all the way down the Amud. He left off four lines up from the bottom. Again, for those listening online, this is Elisha Graf. We will have the opportunity to learn together for the balance of the month of July. So today's daf continues the themes that we started discussing yesterday already on Shabbos, which is the distinctions between a get pashut and a get mekusher. We had seen that a get pashut doesn't only mean a get, it means any shtar. There were two methods of writing a shtar, shtar pashut, shtar mekusher, which was much more involved, including folds, and the folds were sewn onto each other. The edim signed differently, we saw yesterday. Today we're going to continue, discussing various halachos of shtaros. What markings have to be made by the sofer, if there are any erasures, in order to certify that the corrections are valid corrections, whether the last line of a shtar has any probative value, or whether it can't be used to prove anything, and if it can't be used to prove anything, what in fact do we write on the last line of a shtar, and how far away from the end of a shtar Edim have to sign. So again, it's a lot of technical halachas today of the format of these various shtaros. So the rabbi left off yesterday, Kuf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom, right in the middle of the line. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kolam Mechkin Kulan, Tzorach Sheikhtov Vidin Ki Muhan. All erasures in a shtar, the sofer has to write Vidin Ki Muhan. So what does this mean? So if you look in the Rashbam explains, V'lo Goras Vidin. So first of all, the Rashbam isn't Goras Vidin, it just requires Kiyam. Uperish Kolam Mechkin She'ena B'makam Sharev Akayam Damrina La'el D'Ksherim. That there are certain types of mechiko, says the Rashbam. First of all, let's back up. There are certain types of erasures that are invalid. So, for example, if there's an erasure where it says Sharer V'kayam, which is the sort of culmination of the shtar, an erasure over there invalidates the shtar. But if there's an erasure at any point in the shtar other than where it says Sharer V'kayam, that erasure does not invalidate the shtar. However, Tzarech L'kayman B'sof HaShtar, Lifnei Sharer V'kayam, however, you have to be Mekayam, you have to make a note that those erasures and the corrections are valid before where it says Sharer V'kayam. Shem Eina Mekuyamin Ikulam Eimar Shemachach V'zayef V'yigi Akert Sona L'achar Shenichtav HaShtar U'l'achar Shechas Mo'edim. Now, why do we require this type of certification, if you will, on the erasure? Well, the answer is simple, says the Rashbam, that without this type of certification, we would be concerned that somebody who has the shtar would erase whatever's written in the shtar. He would write into the shtar whatever suits him, and there he'd be able to have a shtar ziyuf, a shtar mezuyuf. So in order to protect against the possibility of having a shtar mezuyuf, we say that you have to require, that we say that the sofer has to go and the sofer has to certify the validity of the erasure and of the end of the corrections. And Tosfos says something similar, second to last. Tosfos over here, he says, Beferish Rabbeinu Chanan lo goreis v'din. Rabbeinu Chanan, like the Rashbam, isn't goreis v'din kiyemuan. He's just goreis kiyemuan. Ela I nimchak davar echad v'yachar kach kosav ala mechek. However, if something is erased in the shtar and after that a correction is made, tzorach sheyichta b'sof hashtar, tevos ploni d'ala mechek, You have to at the end certify all of the corrections by line item. Even our gear says not difficult. Even if you don't write vidin, even if you don't write in that exact lashon, but rather the sofer just goes over all the corrections that were made, it also does the trick. Also, Tosfos points out that the reason that you don't have to say vidin is because whatever you have up above the place where it says Sharer V'kayim is by definition certified whenever you say Sharer V'kayim. So that applies not only to the text of the shtar, but also to the corrections that were made on the place where the erasure occurred in the shtar. All right, but that's the halacha, that if there's an erasure and you make a correction, the sofer has to specifically certify the validity of those corrections. So says the Gemara Vayter, another halacha, v'tzorach shayachzer me'inyano shel shtar b'shita achrona, and you have to repeat the inyan of the shtar in the last line of the shtar. Now, what's this about? So if you look in the Rashbam over here, so the Rashbam says, v'tzorach shayachzer zeo shonokosvim b'sof hashtar, this is the formulation that we write at the end of the shtar, the kaninam in ploni bar ploni leploni kechol ma'da kosev m'forish la'el. That the minhag used to be that they would sum up what's written in the shtar with like a one-line conclusion. So let's say if the shtar was a shtar mecher, saying that Reuven sold to Shimon this field for $100. So the last line of the shtar would sum up, oh, and this shtar is about the fact that Reuven sold Shimon his field for the purchase price of $100. And why would they do this? Says the Rashbam, it's not a din in the fact that you need to repeat what you said earlier in the shtar. The din is that we're not going to learn anything new from the last line of the shtar because we ignore whatever's written in the last line of the shtar. So says the Rashbam, it will come out like this. If we're going to ignore what's written in the last line of the shtar, but you're going to write new subject matter, then we're going to ignore the new subject matter. If, for example, you're going to write a t'nai that the sale is subject to, and if we ignore the last line of the shtar, it might turn out that we're going to ignore and we're going to read out of the shtar the t'nai that everybody intended actually bind the transaction. And says the right, so that's why the Rashbam says it's not a halacha necessarily in the fact that you have to repeat it. The halacha is that you can't have, you're not going to learn anything from the last line of the shtar, that you can't have anything new. So memela, if you're not having anything new, what are you going to do? You're going to repeat what's written, you're going to repeat what's written above. So that's basically the shita, right? So that's the shita of the Rashbam. So that's the interpretation rather of the Rashbam. So v'tzarach shayachzer min yano shel shtar b'shita achrona, you have to repeat because we don't learn anything from the last line. My time. So the Gemara explicates this. The Gemara explicates this itself. So Amar Rav Amram v'she'en lameda m'shita achrona, because we don't learn from the shita, because we don't learn from the shita achrona. So there happens to be a machlokas here between the Rashbam and Tosfos. Tosfos is like this massive Tosfos here. We're not going to read it all inside. We'll maybe repeat a little bit of it, outside. But the Rashbam holds that we don't learn anything, that we ignore the last line of ksav in the shtar, even if there might be a couple of empty lines of space between the last line of Ksav and the Edim, where the Edim sign, the Rashbam says we're not going to learn anything from the last line of actual text. So that's the way the Rashbam explains this. Tosfos, however, there are other Rishonim, including Tosfos, who hold that when we say that we don't learn from the last line of the shtar, it means that we don't learn from the last space on the shtar, whether that space has writing or whether that space is blank space. But it would come out, according to these other Rishonim, that if there was a lot of space between where the Edom sign and the end of the shtar, we wouldn't learn if anything is then written later superimposed onto the blank space, but we would learn something if that something were written in the last line of text, in the shtar. So that's the machlokas between the Rashbam and Tosfos over here. And the Rashbam says, so what's the whole concern? The whole concern, explained the Rashbam, explained the other Rishonim as well, is one of ziyuf. It's one of forgery. So why don't we learn from the last line of the shtar? Because the Edim aren't going to be able to bring their signatures close enough to the end of the text. And they're going to leave space between their signature and the end of the shtar. And a person's able to add a line in between the end of the text and the signature of the Edim. That therefore the Chachamim were misakein that what you should do is just repeat from the inyan of the shtar in the last line of the shtar, and not write anything new, any new subject matter that is necessary for the shtar. Sharei im zifo vosifo la'achar zman eino the mafsidin klum im lo nilmad imenu. The reason is because if somebody's going to be mezayif, and if somebody's going to write a new tnai or new subject matter at the end of the shtar, we don't care because we're not going to learn from what's at the end of the shtar anyway. So it's no harm, no foul to us. Sharei kvar kosav kolz elamala. And the fact that if nobody's mezayif, why doesn't it bother us that we're not learning from the last line of the shtar? Because they were misakin that you're not going to put any new subject matter in the last line of the shtar. V'gam im zifo v'yosifo b'shita acholok she'achar inyonu shal shtar she'b'shita achrona b'in ashtar la'edim v'malav lo morid sh'arei ein l'medim b'shita achrona u'v'she'ein kosa b'shtar sh'arev v'kayim mayri. So now the Rashbam says a chiddush that we're talking where the shtar itself doesn't have the lashon of sharer v'kayim. So that's the way the Rashbam explains. Again, he just explained the concern is one of ziyuf. We're afraid that somebody is going to be mezayif. That's why we repeat the inyan of the shtar in the last line. If somebody then comes and adds additional material, it's of no concern to us because we're not going to learn from it anyway. And if nobody is mezayif, then according to the Rashbam, again, as we said, you're not learning from the last line of the text. But that doesn't bother us anyway because the last line of the text is superfluous, because all it does is it repeats that which we had said, it repeats that which we had already covered earlier in the shtar. So let's remember, bank in our mind, the fact that the Rashbam said that this whole case is going where it doesn't say Shara V'kayim. We'll come back to that in a minute. But back in the Gemara says Vayter on the second line, Kuf Samach Beis Amid Aleph, Samarle Rav Nachman L'Rav Amram. So says Rav Nachman to Rav Amram, Minolon Ha, how do you know Minolcha? How do you know this halacha that we don't learn from the last line of the shtar? Samarle, Tanya, we have a brisa. Hirchik Esa Edim Shnei Shitin Minaksav, Puzzle. If the Edim spaced their signatures two lines away from the end of the shtar, then that shtar is going to be pasul. Shita achas, kosher. However, if they space their signature only one line away from the end of the text of the shtar, then it's going to be kosher. So says the Gemara, Maishna shtei shitin. Why do you say... that the shtar is pasul if the Edim sign two lines away from the last line of text? So says the Gemara, the answer is Dilma Mezayif HaKosav, because we're afraid maybe somebody is going to be Mezayif the shtar, maybe somebody is going to come forge and he's going to add whatever he wants that's advantageous to him, some new language in the shtar before the signature of the Edim, and it's going to be as if the Edim signed on this new edition that the guy made, but the new edition was unauthorized, the new edition was Mezuyah. So says the Gemara, why do you passel only a situation where the Edim sign two lines away from the end of the shtar? Also, when the Edim sign even one line away from the end of the shtar, I should still be concerned that somebody is going to be mezayif in the last line. So says the Gemara, shita achas nami mezayif akasav. So when the Edim space their signature even one line from the end of the shtar, aren't we still afraid? Shouldn't we still be afraid that somebody's going to be mezayif whatever he wants and he's going to write into the shtar? So says the Gemara, elelav shmamina, ein lameda mishita achrona, shmamina. So isn't it a raya from here that we're not going to learn from the shita achrona? And that's why, says the Rashbam, hilchach, hirchik shnei shitin pasul, sheyach lezayif shnei shitin v'nilmon min rishona. So says the Rashbam, that's why, remember what the Rashbam shita was that ein lameda mishita achrona means that we don't learn from the last line of text. Therefore, if the Edom were to sign two lines away from the end of the shtar, then a person could be mezayif right in two additional lines. We're not going to learn from the last line, but we're able to learn from the second to last line, which would be mezuyif. That's going to be a problem. But if the Edom only sign one line away from the end of the shtar, so if somebody's going to come and be mezayif and add in the last line of the shtar, ein lameda mishita achrona, we're not going to learn from the last line of the shtar anyway, and therefore, no harm, no foul. Right, and if we were paying attention to what the Rashbam said, that the only time the shtar is going to be puzzled if there's a space of two lines between the end of the shtar and the signature is where you don't write Sharir Bekayim. Sharir Bekayim. However, if you do write Sharir Bekayim, then we assume that the Edim aren't going to sign unless they know that everything is kosher. The Ritva has a lot of problems with the Shita because, after all, the concern is that no matter what's written Sharir Bekayim or not, the concern is that somebody is going to make an addition after the Edom sign. And if we're afraid of Ziyaf, we should be afraid of Ziyaf, no matter whether Sharir Bekayim is written in the Shtar or not. This long Tosfos over here explains, he goes through a historical perspective and says that it appears that in the times of the Gemara, they generally did not write Sharir Bekayim in their ordinary shtaros, because again, the Rashbam said that this whole halacha that the Gemara is mentioning about the Edim leaving two lines of space and Ein Lameidim Meshita Achrona, it's all dealing with a situation where we're not writing Sharir Bekayim. Says Tosfos, why aren't you writing Sharir Bekayim? So apparently in the times of the Gemara, they didn't write Sharir Bekayim, even though nowadays we write Sharir Bekayim in all of our shtaros, and it comes from the Shita of the Rashbam, therefore, that if you're writing Sharir Bekayim, you could learn from every line in the shtar, even in the last line. So Tosfos just is bothered that the way he's bothered by the fact that the way the shtaros were written in the times of the Gemara seems much better, because since there was no requirement that somebody has to write Sharir Bekayim at the end of the shtar in order to be valid, so somebody might have a shtar in which Sharir Bekayim wasn't written, he would add more information, and then at the end, he would write Sharir Bekayim. So in other words, Tosfos is bothered by the fact that apparently writing Sharir Bekayim in a shtar is a way to facilitate forgery. Why? Because remember, if we write Sharir Bekayim, then we're going to learn even from the last line of the shtar. So Tosfos is bothered. Let's say you have a shtar where Sharir Bekayim wasn't written, but then the guy will add whatever amount of lines he wants, and then at the end of the forgery, he's going to write Sharir Bekayim. Sharir Bekayim permits us to pay attention to the last line of the shtar. But if Sharir Bekayim allows us to pay attention to the last line of the shtar, the forgerer can write Sharir Bekayim and thereby give effect to whatever he was forging. So Tosfos is bothered, why in fact do we write Sharir Bekayim today? So Tosfos answers that since the minhag developed that we always write Sharir Bekayim, a shtar without these words is invalid, and therefore the whole concern that we were worried about, that maybe a guy is going to take a shtar without Sharir Bekayim, add his forgery, and then add Sharir Bekayim at the end, is never going to happen, because once the minhag developed that everybody writes Sharir Bekayim in a shtar, good, so everybody just writes Sharir Bekayim in a shtar. Tosfos also explains that a little bit it has to do with the fact that the Edim aren't necessarily going to know where to sign. And again, we had said that if you don't write Sharir Bekayim, then the Edom have to sign only one line away, but not two lines away. So Tosfos says, we're not dealing with Dayanim, we're dealing with Edom. Edom sometimes are Amei Arez. They don't necessarily know how far away you have to sign. And therefore, to alleviate all of this confusion, we just write Sharir Bekayim in all of our shtaros, says Tosfos. Okay. So says the Gemara Vayter, now turning over to Kuf Samach Beis, Amud Beis. So Ibailahu, so says the Gemara asks a question. So Shito Mechtsamai. Okay, so you told me that the Edim cannot sign two lines away from the end of the Ksav. They can sign one line away from the end of the Ksav. So the Gemara asks, what about a line and a half? Okay, so how about that? So what is the halacha here? So the Gemara says, Tashmas, let's try to bring a raya. Hirchek as a Edim Shnei Shitin puzzle. That the Brisa that we just learned said that if the Edim sign two lines away from the end of the Shtar, then the Shtar is going to be puzzle. Hashito Mechza Kosher. The Mashmos is that if the Edim sign only 1.5 lines away, then it's going to be Kosher. Says the Gemara, no, Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa of that Braisa. Shita Achas Kosher. If the Edom sign one line away from the end of the Shtar, then it's going to be Kosher. Shita Achas Uda Kosher, or Shita Mechs Apostle. So it's apparent that if it's a Shita Achas, then it's going to be Kosher. But if it's a line and a half away, then it's going to be Apostle. Says the Gemara, Elamiha Lekha Lamash Vemina. But obviously from here, we can't prove anything. And the Rashbam and Tosfos explain that either the Resha or the Seifa is Dafka, and the other one was just showing that anything more than this or anything less than this is going to be kosher or pasul, depending on your perspective. But none of this was intended to permit you to make a diuk on whether a line and a half of space is going to be valid or invalid. Tosfos in Dibra Maschali Boiluhu, he says that the concern, what's the suffix of Shita Mechsa. So again, the whole problem is, let's remember, the whole problem is that we don't learn from the last line of the Shtar, but if there were two lines written in the forgery, then we can learn from the second to last line. So Tosfa says, the whole suffix is, if I have only a line and a half of space, is it going to be possible for me to minimize my handwriting and write in a very small and neat handwriting to try to get two lines into that line and a half of space? Because if I could get two lines into that line and a half of space, then I have a problem of ziyuf, because I'm not going to learn from the last line, but I am going to learn from the second to last line. If, however, we're not concerned that I'm going to get two lines of space into a line and a half, two lines of text, rather, into a line and a half of space, then there is no concern, because I effectively only have a line of shtar to play with. That's the way Tosfos explains this suffix. Well, so we're going to see that not today, but we're going to see that tomorrow that the Gemara, I think it's tomorrow, maybe the next day, that the Gemara says that the Gemara's concern is when we talk about how much space we're leaving, do we measure that in terms of the handwriting of a sofer, or do we measure that in terms of the handwriting of the Edim? And the Gemara actually assumes that the Sofer is writing in a much more precise and small way than the Edim. So from that perspective, you understand why the Gemara is Mesupik here, that if you have a line and a half, do we really need to be concerned that a person is going to be Mitzamtzem? Because remember, he was writing on a cloth with a quill and everything, so it's very hard. But that's the whole shaila here. Do we need to be afraid that a regular lay person who's going to forge a document is going to be able to be Mitzamtzem his handwriting so much to write two lines of text into a line and a half of space? But we will see. The Gemara is going to discuss whose handwriting do we have to be concerned with, and how much space do we actually need for the handwriting. So says the Gemara, so what's the end result over here with the suffix? Because we said we had a suffix question, line and a half of space, is it valid or invalid? We tried to bring a riot from the Braisa. The Braisa had statements that seemed to indicate both ways, and it left us inconclusive. We didn't know which way we were supposed to conclude. So my avi Allah. So Toshma, so says the Gemara like this. The Gemara brings a riot. The Tanya. Hirchek esa edim shnei shitim menaksav pasul. We have a brisa that says explicitly, if edim sign two lines away from the ksav, then it's pasul. Pachos mikan kosher. However, if there is less than two full lines of space between the end of the text and the edim signature, then it is going to be kosher. Now, hayu arba v'chamisha edim chasumen al ashtar. V'nimtza echad me'em karav apostle, if you have four or five edim who are signed on a shtar, and one of them or two of them is found to be karav or apostle, t'skayim edus b'shar, then the edus should be mekuyam with those edim who are not krovim or psulim. And the Gemara, so we'll explain in a second what exactly this means. And the Gemara says that this is a riot of Chizkia, the Amar Chizkia, Maleo B'Krovim, Kosher. And Chizkia says that if you fill up the blank space with Krovim, it's going to be Kosher. So we'll see the Rashbam inside in a second, but basically we're talking about a situation like this. Remember, we had said that the Edom have to sign within two lines of the end of the Shtar. What happens if the Edom sign four lines from the end of the Shtar? So that's a Shtar puzzle, because we're afraid that somebody is going to come and forge the document. Now, what happens if the guy, in order to sign the Shtar, you need two Kosher Edom. You need two Kosher Edom to testify in the Shtar. But if the two Edim signed four lines away from the body of the shtar, we have a problem. So what are you going to do? You're going to find, we need something to fill the gap between the end of the shtar and where the Edim signed. So you go and you find a bunch of Edim or a Krovim or a Psulim, and you're going to have them sign their names in the shtar, in the blank space between the end of the writing and the signature of the first kosher aid. So why are you having these Edim sign? It's not to be Mekayim the shtar. The Edim are not really giving testimony on the shtar or on the transaction. The Edim are only coming to fill the blank space to alleviate the psul that otherwise would have existed in the shtar. So this is a great shtick. You have a shtar that would otherwise be psul. You fill the blank space with Edim who themselves are psul, and all of a sudden, that's Machshir the shtar. So the Gemara is going to ask, this seems counterintuitive in a second, but first let's see the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says, Perish imhaya bein aksav le'edim chalak kishir shnei shitin. If there's too much blank space between the end of the ksav and the edim, umila makom acholak bekrovim, and if you then fill the blank space with the signature of relatives of krovim, hashtar hahu kosher. That star is going to be kosher, umekayim ben osa mishar edim shabo. And it could be Mekuyam from the kosher edim who signed it. V'lo nimtzu divrei chizkiyah beferish begemara. And the words of chizkiyah are not found beferish in the gemara. V'yesh lomar beget kireach medaber chizkiyah. He's talking about a get kireach. What's a get kireach? A get kireach is, remember we had said that a get mekushar, that when you have a get mekushar, the edim have to sign on each fold. And therefore, there were multiple sets of Edim that would sign on a Get Mekushar. What happens if there was one fold that was missing the signature of Edim? That's called the Get Kireach, a bold Get, because it doesn't have all of the signature, doesn't have all the hair that it's supposed to have. So, V'yesh lomar b'Get Kireach medaber chizkiyah, v'nurin divrei chizkiyah k'divrei Rabbi Akiva, d'tam b'mesechas gittin. Get kireach hakol mashlimin alav kedivrei ben anas. Rabbi Akiva omer ein mashlimin ela krovim aruyim lahed b'makom acher kach perish Rabbeinu Chananel. Now, so the Rashbam brings down an interesting Rabbeinu Chananel. When we say that there's too much blank space, and then you're filling in the blank space with krovim, is it dafka krovim, or is it also krovim or psulim? In other words, can you fill the blank space with people who are mamash pasul le'edus, or is it only people who are ordinarily kosher le'edus, but they're ineligible to be made for him because they were karuv to him? So from Rabbeinu Chananel, it's mashma that the only way you're allowed to fill the blank space is with krovim, not with psulim. But the Rashbam says, V'li nira lashon harishon sesofa b'raisa diktoni hayala arba chamisha v'adai me'en t'chila mayra b'mili shtei shitna psulin. The Rashbam says, I don't buy this sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel that we're talking about a get kireach at all. What we're talking about is we're talking about the pashas, the way I explained it earlier before we saw the Rashbam inside, which is that we're talking where there's too much blank space. And now you need a filler. You need something to fill the blank space. Kediktani resha. Ubo lomar shemili krovim machshiro. That filling the blank space with the signature of Krovim is going to be Machshir the Shtar behind you to come here Misaylei Lel Chizkiya. The Arinami B'milu Shtei Shichin Shal Chalak. The Brisa B'Yalma Mari B'lo Milu Shtei Shichin Uluri Din Edim Psulin Sheiskayim Ashtar B'Shar Listim B'Mesechas Makos. The Rashbam now goes on and says this halacha is a halacha about how can I fill the blank space. You might think that this Gemara is coming to teach me a halacha of what happens if I have a Shtar where some of Edom are kosher and some of Edom are pasul. Do I say that they're all coming as a unit, and therefore if some of the Edom are pasul, the Edus is entirely pasul? Or do we say, no, the Edom or pasul are going to be pasul, but the Edom or kosher are going to be kosher? The Rashbam says if that were the driver of the Gemara, if that were the main thing that this Gemara was coming to teach us, this Gemara would have been Meseches Makos. It wouldn't have been found over here. So this is not in that sugya of do we divide the Edus into the kosher and the pasul, or do we look at everything as a unit? This is all about how do I fill the blank space over here? How do I fill the blank space? So says the Gemara. So also from the Rashbam, it's mashma that the Edim who are Krovim, that where are the Edim Krovim signing here? It's mashma that the Edim Krovim are signing first. because the way the Rashbam set up the case is that you had the shtar, the ksav ended here, the edim were all the way down here, it was too much space, so you have edim krovim fill up the space on top of the edim ksheirim. So first you have the krovim, then you have the ksheirim, and we're effectively ignoring the edus of the krovim, and we're going right to the edus of the ksheirim. What happens if the edus, let's say, what happens if the krovim are last and the ksheirim are first? So let's say you have one kosher aid and then krovim and then another kosher aid. What happens over there? According to the Rashbam, it seems like it wouldn't work because you need the edim krovim first and then the two edim ksheirim. Tosfos argues and says that this order is lav dafka, and it doesn't really make a difference, that no matter where the edim krovim or the edim ksheirim are signing, it's all fine. The whole point is that you need to fill up all of the space with ksav to make sure that you don't have too much empty space on the shtar. So says the Gemara, just to conclude this discussion, so ve'al tatameh, and don't wonder, how can this be? How can what be? So how could it be that if I have a shtar with blank space, then the shtar is going to be puzzle, but if I fill the blank space with the signature of Edim or a puzzle to be made on the shtar, then all of a sudden the shtar is going to be kosher? That doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, no, we have a precedent. V'yalta tame sharei avir sukkah posel b'shlosha. Take a sukkah. If you have place in the sukkah, if you have space in the schach, which is a gap of three tfachim, that airspace of three tfachim is going to posel the sukkah, but schach posel, but if you have mamish, schach posel, posel bi arba, schach posel is actually posel only with four tfachim. So over here, in the case of sukkah, we have a similar scenario where if you have nothing, it's worse than having something that's invalid. If you have nothing, you can only get away with airspace of three tfachim. If you have something that's invalid, you could get away with airspace of four tfachim. Just like over here, if I have nothing, if I have blank space, it's worse than when I have the signature of these edim psulim, of these edim who are krovim. Tosfos tries to figure out what type of sukkah we're talking about, where actually the avir sukkah, where the avir of shalosh is going to pasul, and he winds up saying that we're talking about a situation where you have a sukkah with a number of walls, so that if you have airspace of three tfachim, that even if you have a sheer sukkah on the side of the airspace, you don't have enough defanos to make a kosher sukkah, and that's why it would be pasul. And then Tosfos also says, even though airspace of up to three tvachim is going to be kosher, it's only three tvachim or more that's going to be puzzle, you still can't sit directly below the airspace. That's what Tosfos says over here. But in any event, that's the halacha, that you need a minimal space between the signature of the edim and the text of the shtar to prevent against forgeries. What happens if you have too much space? So we saw this etzah, that you could fill it with edim krovim and thereby validate the shtar. And in the Gemara tomorrow, we're going to talk about exactly how much space we're referring to when we talk about two lines of space. Is it two lines of text, including the area between the lines of text? Is it only the two lines of text without the area in between? We'll see all that, God willing, tomorrow.